This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Last week we started with a series on God's blueprint for church and really just this journey this year to discover God's heart for church, to build God's church and not man's church, to put away and aside all our ideas, perceptions, expectations of what church ought to be, and really allow God to minister to us through His Word, what is His heart, His expectation, His desire for church. So this morning we want to continue with that. Of course, we've heard so many sermons on church, but it's so good for us just to take a moment and reflect on that again. You know, the Greek word for church, ecclesia, literally means those who are called out to come together. And this is really what church is. This is really who we are today. We are those who have been called out of the world to come together for a common purpose. That's the use of the word in classical Greek. It's those who are called out to come together for a common purpose. And last week we spoke about this common purpose. The reason that we are here today, the reason from different races, neighborhoods, demographics, the reason we are here together is because of Jesus. And that was last week's sermon. The question was, why do we come to church? What is the reason that we gather together? And God's heart for us, that the primary reason, the first reason, the most important reason that we were to come together as believers is because of our love for Jesus. He is the foundation, the cornerstone, the head of the church. He is the reason we are here. He is the expression of God's love towards us. He is our Savior, our Redeemer. He is our life, our hope, eternal life in Him. That is the first and foremost reason we ought to come together. And we shared around that. The essence of church, this common purpose, that He may be preeminent in all that we pursue and do as church. And it's so important that we remind ourselves for the reason that we are here. It's not because of a denomination. It's not because of the worship. It's not because of the preacher. It is because of Jesus. That is why we are here. And we must always make Him first in everything that we do as church and pursue together. And therefore, Colossians 1 verse 18 says, He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. And that is God's heart for church. And we need to remind ourselves before we get distracted by all the things as we do as church and happens in church, but keep Jesus first. And so we are called out of this world to assemble together because of Jesus. His death, His resurrection, His life, His teaching, His intercession, His continual source of being the center of everything in the universe. And this brings us to the next obvious point about church, is the fact that church is about coming together. I mean, that is why we're here. We are a church here, not because of the building or the denomination. We are here because we're together. That makes church. It's not me. It's not the band, the staff, the leadership. It's us together. And that seems very obvious. But yet, if you search the scripture for God's heart and desire for church, this becomes very evident that God's desire for church is that we come together. That's really God's heart, because church is not a physical building. Church is the people being built together into a spiritual home. But it's this concept of living stones being placed together to form something which is called church. And therefore, church is not the pastor, nor the band, nor the denomination. It's you and me together today. This is church. We are church coming together. The moment you and I get saved, God's heart for us is not to be alone. The moment you get saved out of the world, where you used to belong. You know, this is the amazing thing about salvation. When God reveals Himself to us, which is a deeply personal experience, it's a deeply personal commitment. The day we accept Jesus in our life, the day that we acknowledge that we are sinners and that we are in need of a Savior, and that we choose to believe that Jesus is the answer for my sin and for my justification and my relationship with God. The moment I bow my knee and say, God, save me from this world and my sin, and we turn to Him and we are born again to become a new creation, when we called out of the world, plucked from it, redeemed, and being called His own, God's first desire after our salvation and repentance is that we would not be alone. Like right from the beginning, when God created man and He said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so when we are saved and we become a new creation, God's first desire for us is not to be alone. And He wants us to be together. He wants all His children to come together. There's something about church that reflects God's heart so powerfully. He doesn't want us to be alone, but to be together with fellow believers. We are saved out of this world. We used to belong to this world. And so God called us out of this world like He called Abram. Remember Abram? When God, the father of our faith, God called Abram out of his country, out of his family, out of the place where he used to belong. And He says, Abram, I want you to come out from among them and follow me. You know what's so powerful? God didn't tell him where He's going to take him. He just says, I want you to come out. And I want you to follow me to a place I will show you. Because faith is not about the destination. It is about the person in whom we believe. And so this journey also starts like this, where God calls us out of where we used to belong to go somewhere else. And God's heart for us is immediately when we're out of this world where we used to belong, we used to be part of something, to move to something new, to be part of something different to the world. That's something new. That's something different. That sense of belonging is found in church. So God says, I want you to leave your family and your country, the place of belonging, follow me, and I will lead you somewhere else. So is it with our salvation. It's a deeply personal encounter and personal response to God's offer of salvation. But God is saying, I want you to come out of the pollution of the world and the way of the world, and I want you to become my own. That's God's first desire for humanity. God desires that all men to be saved. That's God's first desire. I want all of humanity to come to the knowledge and the revelation of my love for them and the provision that I've made through Jesus Christ, so that they can come out of this world, out of the darkness, into light. And then, after repentance, turning away from this world unto Christ, God's desire is to see us come together. From everywhere. Wherever you got saved, whoever you used to be, God wants you to come together with fellow believers. And that coming together, God calls church. Now what is so interesting, God uses one of the analogies for church, which we know so well, is that church is the body of Christ. Now, church is the... Now, I want you to follow. I love the way God speaks in His, in the power of simplicity, so that the four-year-old can understand this. Jesus is the head of the church, and the church is the body of Christ. So there's a union. There's a mystery between this relationship of Christ the head and the body, the church. The two are one in a very mysterious way, and that's God's heart. And He wants us to understand something about church. Church is the body of Christ. Now, can I ask you a question? What is my body without my head? It's dead. I want you to think about this. The body without the head is dead. If you take Jesus out of the church, it is dead. If Jesus is no longer the head, if he is not preeminent, the body is dead. If anything else, the denomination, the pastor, the worship, the culture, anything else is head, the church is dead. It must be Jesus. So the body without the head is dead. Can you have a living experience without the head? No. Well, if that is true, is it possible that the converse is also true? Can you have the head without the body? Now, of course, don't misunderstand me. Yes, you can have Jesus without the church, because Jesus existed long before the church. He was eternal long before creation. He is self-sustaining, all-powerful. He doesn't need anything. Yes, you can. Jesus can exist without the body, because he's God. But the purpose, now you must focus here. The purpose of Jesus coming to the earth was for the church, was to establish the church. That is the very purpose of the incarnation, to redeem individuals out of the world to form something new, which is called the church. It is the purpose of Christ coming to the earth is for the church. As a matter of fact, it is the purpose of the resurrection, so that those who are saved can come together to form the church. It's the climax of history in Revelation, when Jesus returns to be married to the church. It is the purpose of Christ coming is to establish the church. And the end of all time will come when he and the church are united in that great ceremony, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when the two are united together. And that is God's desire for church. It's so sad to see in this day that there are so many moving away from church. And we meet so many believers that no longer believe in church. But church is where God's heart is. Church might not be perfect, but God is committed to church. As a matter of fact, he loves church. He gave himself for the church, and he is constantly working within the church to prepare her for that day. And so we read here in Ephesians 5, it says, "Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church." You see, he loves the church. "And he gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself a radiant church without strain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for the body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. There is this great mystery between the relationship and the union between Christ and the church. It is the purpose for Christ coming. It's the reason that he loves. It's the reason that he gave himself up for her, died on the cross, and it's the reason why he cares and feeds her so that she can become without blemish, without wrinkle, and become blameless. as he continues to work in and through us, the church. Christ loves the church. He not only gave himself for her, he is working to take out all the strains and wrinkles and all the blemishes that is so easy to point out. And he feeds and cares for the church. God's heart is for the church, and his desire is that our heart, his believers, his children that is called out of the world, would have the same heart towards church. And it's so sad to see how so many has moved away from church, criticized church, and God's heart is, no, follow my heart, my example. I gave myself, I love, and I'm constantly at work within it, because that is the purpose of which I'm coming. It is my expectation one day to be united together with my church. So God's heart is that we will have the same attitude towards church, loving, giving, working, and caring for his church. We read that, after all, no one has ever hated his own body, but feeds and cares for their body, just as Christ does the church. God's desire for church is that when we come together, we firstly come together because of Jesus, because of our love for him. And secondly, we come together because of our love for each other. That is church. Church is when we come together, not just because we love him, but because we love each other. That's God's desire. I've called you out of this world to become my own. I call you my son, my daughter, but I have a family, and I want you to be part of this family, and I want you, like we as parents want our children to love each other, God's desire is, as a father, he wants us to love each other. That's God's heart for church. I want you to come together firstly because you love me and because what I've done for you, but secondly because you love each other. Remember the greatest commandment? When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, you must love God with everything, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. In this, everything hangs and is fulfilled. How powerful it is. That's God's desire for church. Not just that we come together because of Jesus, but that we come together to love each other. As a matter of fact, God is love. So I also want to say, if you have church without love, it's not alive. You must love God. You must love each other. That's God's heart for church. God's desire for us is not to be alone. So many Christians today are alone and not part of church. And as great a blessing as TBN and the internet and the spiritual books that we have access to today, on a Sunday morning, when you watch TBN, it's not church. Because there's no brothers and sisters to love. When we come together. And you know what Jesus said? Where two or three are gathered together, there I'm with them. There's something powerful about church. God's desire for us is not to be alone, but together. And that we would be together in love and in unity. And I've preached on this, so I don't want to go in too much. But Jesus prayed for his disciples. And after he prayed for his disciples in John chapter 17, we're going to read that. He starts to pray for those who would believe in him because of their testimony. That's us. That's all of us. So Jesus starts to pray for us. And we read here from verse 20, "And I do not pray for these alone, my disciples, but I pray for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. You see, one of Jesus, the primary reason that we are here today, one of his deepest desires for us as we come together is that we may be one. In the same way, he is one with his Father. If you want to know God's desire for church, is that we will not be alone, that we'll come together, love each other, and be one. That's his desire for church. Jesus was not speaking of an organizational unity. He's speaking of a spiritual unity. And so we can ask ourselves, what are the things that makes us one? What is God's desire for us to be one in? Now, firstly, his desire, as we heard last week, is to be one in our love for him. That he is the first, the foundation, the cornerstone, the head, that our love for him is what unites us. First and foremost, what makes us one is our common love for Jesus. That makes us one. Secondly, what makes us one is our separation from evil and the ways of the world and our devotion to obeying his truth that is in the word. That's another thing that makes us one, that we're no longer part of this world, that we have stepped out of this world. This is something that we have in common, that we used to be part of this, but we stepped out of it. And what makes us one is our separation from the world, coming together as his people and having our faith, our hearts, our commitment, our obedience to his way of life and not the way of the world. That makes us one. And then thirdly, what makes us one, and this is so powerful, Jesus and the Father were one because they had a common pursuit. They shared the same purpose, the same plan, and the same power. What made Jesus and the Father one was their love for each other, but also their purpose, their plan, and their power. They had something in common. Jesus often reminded us that he didn't come to this world to do his own will, but to do the will of his Father. And he often said that what I say and that what I do is only what I see and hear my Father do. I'm one with the Father. Because whatever the Father says, I say, and whatever I see the Father do, I do. So how can you ask me, Thomas, show me the Father? How can you ask me, do you not know if you see me, you see the Father, because I and the Father are one? So what made them one was this common plan, common purpose, and common power. Likewise, our unity is dependent on the sharing of the priority of seeking and doing God's will and not our own. That's what makes us one. In just as Jesus and the Father was one because Jesus pursued the will of the Father, so what makes us one is when we together pursue the will of the Father. It makes us one. Our love for him, our separation from the world and commitment to the truth, and our following his will. That makes us one. So God's desire for church is to one. There's no difference between us and CRC and every nation and live the life and the Dutch Reformed Church when it comes to the essence of our love for God, our love for the truth, and our obedience to his will. That makes us one. So God wants us to be one with one another. God's will, ultimately, if we want to ask what is God's will, this what makes us one is our common pursuit of God's will. If you want to summarize it, if you want to summarize what is God's will, well, it's to see the lost being saved. It's to see those who do not know Jesus to come in a living relationship with him. That's God's will. His heart is that all men will be saved. And what makes us one is our common pursuit of God's will, which is to see the lost come into a living relationship with God. If we all pursue the same thing, it makes us one. So God's will is that we share the message of salvation to all who does not have this relationship with Him. That what unites us is our love for Him, our love for the Word, and the love for the lost. It's simple. Love for God, love for the Word, and love for the lost. That's what unites us. That's what unites Christians all over the world, no matter what denomination they're in. When one of these is missing, complete unity as God desires cannot exist. Because that's what church is about. It does not mean we have to agree or have the same perspective on all issues, but we must have a unified and uncompromised commitment to honor Christ, to stay true to His Word, and to lead others to salvation. This is the three things. God's desire for church. And when we are together in unity, you know what's so powerful? When we are together in this love for God, love for His Word, and love for the lost, when we are together in one, as one, the world will know that Jesus came to earth for this very purpose. It's so powerful that we read it. That the world, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved the world. That's the result of being one. It's not just that we will be effective in what we do, but that the world will recognize this must be gone. I want to ask the ushers just to hand out the communion. And I want to remind us of the three things. God's heart for church is that we as believers come together. It's God's heart for church. He does not want any believer to be alone. It's His desire not to be alone. Second, that we come together because of Jesus, and always because of Jesus. And thirdly, that we come together in unity, a spiritual unity of heart, of mind, and of purpose. That's God's heart for church, that we'll come together with those in heart. Church is not perfect, but God is committed to church. And I'm going to end off with Ephesians 5. Just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the Word, and to present her to Himself a radiant church without strain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. God's heart for us as we come together. Can I ask that we put out our faith, commit ourselves to church as Christ commits Himself to us. That we'll come together because of Him, because of His Word, and because of His heart for the lost. So that challenges us in our motivation, not just coming together, but leaving this place. What unifies us, and that's what we're really going to trust the Holy Spirit for this year, is to bring a unity in and amongst us in the same way that Jesus in the Father is one, that we will become one in our love for Him, our love for His Word, and the love for the lost. That we'll not just come together to worship Him, but that we come together to do His will. Which means it's not just being together on a Sunday, but it is leaving, going into this world on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Saturday, to be light in the darkness. To live our lives in such a way that people will come to know Jesus. That's the will of God. And if that is our pursuit, that is what will unify us in everything that we do. So my desire this morning is that as we partake of communion that makes us one, this first, this primary, the preeminent reason that we are here today because of Jesus, His death and His resurrection. This is what we partake of as we partake in our faith, proclaiming who He is, that we will commit ourselves to His desire for church, His body, which is not just today, every day. So I want to ask us this morning, as we hand out the elements, that we wait for each other, that we eat and drink in unity, and we ask God to help us. We ask God to help us. We admit before God that we are not perfect. We are not the perfect church. God, there's lots of blemishes. There's lots of wrinkles and stains. But God, we want to commit ourselves, and we want to ask you to come and cleanse us, to come and feed us, to come and care for us, to build us into the church you desire us to be. That we will not just be here on a Sunday, but every day. And that His will be done, not ours. So this morning, it's the start of a process of humbling ourselves before God and asking Him, come Lord, do your will. May your kingdom come in us as a church. May your will be done in us as a church forever and ever. Amen? Amen. Let's just take a moment, and I want you just in your own hearts, just respond to God's heart, His word for church, and our hearts towards church. The reason that we come, and our heart towards church, and His purpose for bringing us together. Can we do that? Just in your own words, as you receive the elements, just respond to God's word and His heart for church. With the bread, if you've missed the bread, if you could just put up your hand. Anybody that we've missed with the cup, everybody has a cup, everyone has bread. Father, we want to thank you that we are here today. The only reason we're here today is because of you. It's because of your love for us that manifested in your Son becoming flesh, living amongst us, taking upon Himself all our sin. While we were still trapped in this world, and in the power of sin and the ways of this world that led to destruction and ultimately your judgment, condemnation, and hell. God, we want to thank you that you loved us so much that you didn't want any one of us to end up in hell, but you sent your Son so that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God, we thank you for the price, the cost of saving our souls. It's your Son on the cross. Lord, we confess our faith in Him, and the reason we are here today, it's because of Jesus, His love, His sacrifice, and your resurrection. Oh God, we thank you for this great cost, Lord. And we confess, and we will never forget what it cost you to save us. Let us eat together. It was your body broken for us so that we can be saved. Lord, we thank you for this cup, this blood that was spilled that gives us life, gives us hope, gives us eternal life. Lord, we confess that only you have the words of eternal life. Only you is the source of eternal life. Only through you, Jesus, can we come to the Father. And Lord, we thank you for what you have given us through Christ, your Spirit, your gifts and inheritance. Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, we thank you that you saved us out of this world to be part of your plan and your purpose, your desire for church. And Lord, as we're here today, Lord, we want to thank you for the privilege to be part of your church. We're no longer part of the world, but we're part of church. And God, I pray that you will empower us through your Spirit to see not only your desire, but to be the desire you have for us together. That we may glorify you on a Sunday. But God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we humble ourselves, that we will be willing for you to teach us all things. That we will be willing for you to empower us to become all things that you have designed us to be. God, I pray that we will come together with an expectation to worship you, but also to be sent out by you. And Lord, so we pray, Father, as we continue in this journey, Lord, that you will continue to show us your desire. And Lord, I pray that you will give us the grace, Lord, and the faith, Lord, to take hold of your heart's desire and to pursue it until we reflect it in this world. Lord, we pray this not only for our congregation, Lord, we pray it for all the congregation in this town, Lord, that we might all grow up into the head, which is Jesus Christ. That we all through our life and our giving and our loving may reflect you more and more, that the lost may be saved, that you may be glorified, and that your kingdom and will may be done in Hermanus as it is in heaven. We ask this, we commit ourselves to this as we drink together in Jesus' name. May you be glorified in each and every one of us. And this morning, especially when we come together. Lord, I thank you for this. I pray that as we go, we may go in the name of Jesus, and that you will be in our minds and our hearts always as we continue our days with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for coming. If you are here today and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, you're still part of the world, not church. I want to invite you to come and speak to me afterwards. I would love to pray with you. Because this is really what God's heart is to see the lost saved and come to an understanding, a revelation, and an experience of the reality of who He is. To be in a relationship with Him as a Father, where He can impart His life to you, where you can know His voice, you can know His love, and you can know the assurance and the boldness of what it means to belong to God. Not to live in fear or doubt, but in boldness. If that is you, if you're here today, and you would like to commit yourself to this God that loves you so much, I would love to pray with you. So I'm going to be at the end, but for the rest of you, thank you for coming. May God bless you. There's some great coffee and fellowship. I want to remind you of the 2-minute rule. The first 2 minutes, please spend it with someone you don't know. Let's work on this unity, the oneness, the love for one another, by just spending 2 minutes with somebody you don't know. And after that, you spend your time with your friends. Enjoy the coffee and all the other stuff that goes with it. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.